February 14th, 2017, meeting of the City of Aiken Planning Commission. Pleased to see a full crowd, although I am a little sad that none of you have anything better to do on Valentine's Day. However, glad you're all here. Let me explain a little bit about our process in case you have not joined us before. We will call each application one by one. I will first ask if anyone would like to speak on behalf of the application, and if you have a positive comment or supportive, then you come forward. When you do come to the podium, please state your name and address for the record, and please remember that you are addressing all the commissioners. After you have finished your comment, if you would pause for a moment to see if there are any questions from the commissioners before you retake your seat. I will then ask for anyone who is going to speak in opposition of the application. Those folks may come up, and then I will open it and ask if anyone would like to make any additional comments. A couple of other ground rules. I would ask that everyone please take a moment to check your cell phones and make sure that they are off or on vibrate out of respect for those who are going to speak. And please, let's all just pay attention to whoever is speaking. This is a formal process. Anyone who wants to speak will get their turn to speak. All right, our first action for the evening is the approval of the minutes of the January 10th, 2017 work session and regular meeting. May I have a motion to accept them if there are no changes or additions?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? All right. Okay, we'll move right into new business. Our first application is application 17-20004. It is a request for annexation located at 696 Henry Street. Is there anyone who would like to speak on behalf of this application? Yes, would you?
My house and I want to be annexed.
Okay, is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition? All right, not hearing any, then we will move to the commission for a motion.
With respect to application number 17-20004, annexation of tax parcel number 122-09-05-005, located at 696 Henry Street, I move that we recommend this application to City Council for approval because it is in compliance with our comprehensive plan.
Second.
There's a second. All right. Any discussion? And I'll call for the vote. All in favor? Okay. Now, ma'am, that this means that we have approved a recommendation for annexation to City Council, and you need to check with the City Manager's office to see which meeting you're on the agenda, if you care to go and speak to, and or hear their final disposition. Okay. Well, this is one, and then you'll have two readings. It's recommended, yes. But if you're real lucky, it'll be first on the agenda as it was tonight, and then you don't have to stay. All right. Our second application is 17-23004. It's a request for concept plan approval located at Whiskey Road and Powder House Road by Kensington Development, LLC. Is there someone present who would like to speak on behalf of this application? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Philip Green. I'm a civil engineer with Southern Partners, here to speak on behalf of the developer. Okay. As I'm sure y'all are aware, the property has been vacant.
Can you speak up just a little bit? Apparently they're having trouble hearing you.
The property has been vacant for a number of years. Given the current market, the developer has decided to move forward with a concept. We have been through several iterations of layouts and concepts, been in contact with the city staff, who have been very helpful. The developer has been in contact with representatives from the Kensington HOA to request their input and advice as we move forward. As you can see, we have ended up with an extension of the residential Kensington subdivision for 60 units, maintaining the 6 plus or minus acres along Whiskey Road as a commercial venture. We have strived to create what I would call minimal impact to the existing Kensington subdivision. As you may be aware, the original concept for Kensington had 120 units that were approved for development, of which only 87 have been built, I guess, and there's room for 89. So we'll be adding 60 units to that. Again, the developer feels that this his background is in residential, so he is moving forward with this, with the continued marketing of the 6 acres along Whiskey Road for a commercial venture.
Okay.
Again, we've read through the conditions that have been recommended by staff, and I don't think there are any on there that that we would disagree with. We look forward to working through this process with the city. Glad to answer any questions that the
and I'm sure there will be some. Commissioners?
Bill, in regards to the driveways, the submitted documents in regards to the previous development that you've done, are you having a two space driveway on each unit, or is there one and two independent units, driveways?
Two spaces per unit.
Per unit. Okay.
And that's part of the request. I forgot to mention there were two waiver requests in there. One was on the width of the driveway so that we could ensure that that was taken care of on each unit.
So the previous submitted documents on other developments, it dictates a one-person driveway. So that's not the case here, correct?
Correct. Yeah, it would be two.
And that would apply whether or not there is a garage?
Correct, for the width. And again, that would be a maximum. Obviously, if somebody came in and those may be less than, but we didn't want to be restricted necessarily if we needed to put in the two-car driveway.
Do all the units have garages?
No.
No, sir.
Okay, so there would be some units that did not have garages, but they would have the 24-foot space for parking for two cars.
Yes, sir. Correct.
Yes.
With respect to the buffer, I know that you say that you're going to have a minimum 25-foot undisturbed landscape buffer around the perimeter. So on that area that's going to abut any commercial development,
yes,
are you going to have that 25-foot plus the additional buffer that would have been, that will be required for the commercial area? In other words, is that buffer between the commercial and the residential going to be larger than the minimum of 25 feet that you're suggesting here?
Yes, the 25 feet that we're providing is on the residential side. Any concept plan or development plan for the commercial would have to provide their own buffer on their side of the line.
Okay.
In addition, if you notice, we have tried, we have one set of units which is basically parallel to that commercial line.
Right.
The other units, we have tried to put a curvilinear road in to allow those other units to at least rotate away from that line to extend our own buffer beyond that 25-foot minimum.
To be within.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does. Mm-hmm. So as you're clearing trees, are you going to allow for that and try to maintain or... maintain's not the word I want.
Retain.
Retain some of the older growth trees in that area around...
Yes, but much like the existing Kensington subdivision, there are large areas of natural. If you look, there's tree wells that were built back in when the original section was built.
Mm-hmm.
The intent is to continue that character throughout here and maintain as many trees as possible.
Okay. Commissioners, any other questions?
If I could just, Mr. Planning Director, I just wanted to verify about the traffic study. It says the trip generation is relatively small with 34 and 40 trips expected respectively for the AM and PM peak hours. Based on your experience, this is relatively small. Just based on your experience, is that relatively small?
That is relatively small, yeah. It, your residential uses generate the fewest amount of trips, peak traffic. So other than a single family detached residential, this is about as low of a traffic generator as you can find for a parcel.
Okay. Thank you.
I have just one more little question.
Certainly.
So one of the letters that was included by one of the citizens at the end, and we understand that, and I appreciate her letter a lot. About what percentage of the people living in this area are retirees as opposed to, is it largely retirees or... That's good. I'm one too. It's representative.
I think you'll hear from that demographic tonight.
Right. Okay. Good. Well, we're looking out for you. All right. So I get it. Yeah.
All right. Any other questions? All right. Thank you. We may have you back up if there's another question later on. Okay.
Certainly. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Anyone else who would like to speak on behalf of this application request? Yes, sir. Will you step down? All right. If you'll come down to the front so that it can be recorded.
And we can hear you.
You all may not realize it, but we are being televised.
I just would like to know what the cost of these units are going to be as far as, you know, retail and the square footage of square footage each unit's going to take. Right now, I would say most of the units on Kensington are between 1,200 and 1,300 and 1,800 and 1,900 square feet. So it'd be nice if they kept these in line with those square footages.
All right.
Sir, could we get your name for the record?
Sir.
James Rosetta.
And address. Name and address, please.
281 Vanderbilt.
All right. Let's have our developer representative back up to answer that question, please. Yes. You might want to sit near the front. This looks like you could be doing a lot of walking. All right. Could you respond to his question?
Certainly. I think if I got it right, it was basically the cost of units and approximately
and the square footage.
What we have planned is very similar to what's out there now. Obviously, the cost is going to be market driven. That's not something that we can do, but or tell you exactly what it's going to be. But the materials, exterior materials of the house is going to be substantially the same. The character of the neighborhood is going to be the same. The square footage will be the same, basically, as what's out there now. It's going to be a very similar product. And home that's going to be constructed that what's in the existing subdivision.
All right, sir. Okay. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on behalf of the application? Yes, ma'am.
I have some additional questions for the developer.
All right. If you'll state your name and address, please.
My name's Lori Godreau. I'm at 293 Vanderbilt Drive. And if I may, I'm going to turn my head a little bit.
Well, ma'am, actually, you need to speak into the microphone to be recorded. And
I'm a fairly new resident of Aiken, and one thing I have found as not only a new resident but also a visually impaired person, that my priority and concern has been safety. And there are no sidewalks currently in the original Kensington development in which I live. The lighting has been poor. And I've heard mention a couple of times of who the developer requests. Well, I have no idea who really the developer is, because there's still existing concerns from the original Kensington as far as roofing and some of the subcontractors that were used. Are we going to expect the same kind of quality and support system to the houses where I live now? Probably half the people have already had to replace roofs. I'd like to know if there's going to be sidewalks and if they plan on putting anything in place as far as a walking path for the existing community. The lighting is not safe. You can't really walk at night because there is some lighting, but it's dim lighting, and it's sporadic. It's not all the way through the community. And just in general, as being the planning commission, as somebody that has to depend on others for rides, there's no walking path anywhere on Powder House, Whiskey, in Kensington. I've only seen a couple developments that have sidewalks in general. But I've tried just walking in the commercial area and around Walmart, Target. You cannot walk anywhere. It's not safe. You can't cross. Already, I haven't heard any mention or request that a traffic light be put in at Powder House, which is already impossible to cross to go into the extended part of Vanderbilt now. So I'm just wondering what safety measures and what kind of thought process they've used for that. And if they're going to do any, are they, with all this new extended community, are they going to offer any small park or anything for places to sit? Because currently there is not. Some areas have large common area that are like a park-like setting behind certain houses. And then on Vanderbilt, there's barely 2 feet in places. Okay. So that's
all right. Thank you. If you'll have a seat, we'll ask him to come back up and respond to those questions.
Thank you. Sidewalks, one of the conditions that we are in agreement with is sidewalks on at least one side of the street. We understand that pedestrian traffic circulation is important. As far as, lighting, I think, was the other main point. And generally, the street lighting is done through SENG and the city. We don't usually dictate how bright those lights are. I think we would certainly be willing to approach SENG or the existing HOA to see if that is a problem and brighter lights may be necessary in the future section. As far as reaching back into the other section, that this development would not be able to do that. They would just be moving forward with a separate section, and again, the development side of it is different than the home building side of it. I don't feel like I could address any issues that they may have had from a home building side.
I know on here that you've said that there will be a minimum of 25% open space. Now, does this open space include? Are you including the space between the road and the sidewalk of the road and the houses, that little tiny strip there? Or are you talking about like an open space area that she's speaking of that might be used to put benches in or?
Yes, I'm talking about open space areas, not the right of way between the road and the.
So there is a possibility.
This would be surrounding the units, behind the units, in between the units. Much like the existing Kensington has, I think, upwards of about 40% open space.
I'm sorry, ma'am. That's not our process. If you want to speak, you'll just have to wait for your turn. Okay, so 25% open space, okay, which is the requirement.
Mm-hmm. Which is the requirement.
Okay, anything else you want to add?
No,
okay, thank you. All right, is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of this application? All right, then we will ask, is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition?
Yes, ma'am. If you'll step down, state your name and address.
My name is Linda Taylor, and my husband Steve is with me. We live at 204 Heathwood Drive in Elmwood Park, and you had the map up there. It's gone now, but we would have been the fifth lot coming in from Crestwood to Heathwood. And
we're not totally opposed to the
complex, but we've lived there over almost 50 years. And we have a prescriptive easement behind our house that allows us to get into the backyard, and it also allows the power company to service the poles down through there.
It's an easement.
And it is. One of my neighbors is here. He's used it for 50 years. It, from what I understand, is going to be turned into a construction road, but I just want to see if after all the construction is done, are we still going to be allowed, or how much footage we're going to have? And if you count it, I'm the fifth one from Whiskey Road. 1, 2, 3, I'm at the right side of the B. Mm-hmm. And we've got, and I actually have a copy of when we moved in our house. And this is a field road. I think that's what they're talking about using for a construction road. And then we have a utility road. Now, half closed, and am I still going to be able to use this prescriptive easement to get in my backyard? How close are those condominiums going to be toward me? Not that, you know, I'm against them. I know progress happens, but I need access to my backyard. And I need to know exactly what's going on. Would any of y'all like to look at this? And you can see this is all grown up now. This was a hay field when we moved out here. This is what I believe they're making a construction road. And then we had an ice storm. We used to be able to get out through Whiskey Road, but now we can come down through here and go out through another neighbor's yard. But this was the access that we always used, and then you can see the utility line here. So I want to know if we're going to still continuously use this house. We're talking about buying a utility building, like a 12 by 24, and we're going to have to, you know, take them apart if I can't. But are we still going to be able to get it in?
All right.
Is it going to double that?
Okay. Would you just stand here for just a moment with this? All right. Can I have somebody representing the developer look at this and see if you can address this?
Yes.
Do you want to show him this?
The construction access will be through a separate road that was cut in with the first section of Kensington as the emergency access road, not this other road that you're referring to.
Right, but this is what I call the field road.
Okay.
You can see that goes into my property right here. And this was done 45 years ago, and it's here. It's been using all this for 50 years. So it's, best I know, it's a prescriptive easement because nobody ever stopped us from using it. Nobody ever said we couldn't.
Yeah, and that's a legal question. I don't know of any recorded easement that's on the property and whether it's prescriptive or not. That's a legal question that I'm not qualified to answer.
We're going to buy a building. It's 12 by 24. We had several ice wall, so that's blocked off. We can get in through here and come down through here and get to the
road. Ma'am, it seems like your question has... Ma'am... It seems like your question has been answered. That's not going to be the construction road. That is not going to be the construction entrance.
Oh,
so that's what he just said.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's not going to be the construction entrance. So now your question is a legal question that you need to ask whether that's an SCENG, whether that's a utility easement or something else. But none of us here are qualified to answer that.
Can you tell me how close the backyard of these condominiums are going to come to my property?
He probably can.
Well, let me ask a question, Mr. Green. There, somewhere in this plat we have, it's showing a lot line. So somebody has surveyed it, and there is a lot line run, correct? There are pins back there. Got it.
The property, yes, sir.
There's pins, ma'am, to show in that lot line, the lot line between the back of your yard and where his property begins. There's pins back in there.
Little flags. Little flags.
With little flags on them.
Right.
That is the line. He can't get on your side of that line.
And with the 25-foot buffer, I won't be closer than 25 feet.
It'll be 25 feet from that, those little flags. So that's what you need to go out there and look at. That's how close they will be. 25 feet from those flags.
So the prescriptive easement is not in effect? That we used it for almost 50 years?
Well, that's a totally different, that is a totally, absolutely different issue. We can't tell you whether it's still in effect.
But he's going to go 25 feet.
Ma'am, I'm sorry, but you cannot just speak out. We have to do this in an orderly process.
There is a line out there, and his surveyor has got pins laid out on that line. You've seen them. If you've walked back there, you know what I'm talking about.
I have.
That is the lot line.
Okay.
He is going to stay 25 foot on his side of that line.
Okay. And then,
you with me? Now, I don't know where this road runs. We don't, on our plat, we don't have this road.
Yeah.
You got a plat to your property when you bought it. It may show a road back there. I don't know. But it's not on our plat.
Utility company used it.
Well, the utility's probably got an easement in there now. They probably got one.
That may be the first place to check.
Yeah, if those flags are on this side of the easement, then you're okay. If those flags are on the other side of the easement, then it would be your responsibility to contact SCEMG.
So tree road there right now. Mm-hmm. It's just starting to grow up.
Right.
And all this is grown up. So all this is wooded area, and then I got the flag past wooded area before I get to right in the middle of what I got.
Okay, then it's 25 feet from the flags, so it's probably going to be on the other side of the road.
So are they going to leave this tree line?
They're not going to do anything on that side of the flags.
They're not going to do anything on your side of the flags.
So that all stays, and the tree stays there, then I can't use the back road. So.
Well, you just have to walk off 25 feet and see if you may be all right.
You may be all right. And I would...
Wait a minute. No, she's not all right because that 25 foot's on his property.
Yeah.
His 25 foot is his side of the line.
The buffer is on his, but in terms
So she can't,
that's right.
You know, that line is the line. You own north of it, he owns south of it.
All right, well... But you say the construction road's not coming in behind Beechwood Drive?
It is, but it may not be that same easement road.
If you clear out that 25 foot,
excuse me, can we leave this discussion for another time? Because we have 80 people here concerned about our...
Sir, I'm sorry, but we're going to end this shortly, but our policy is to allow everyone an opportunity to speak.
Have an opportunity.
Sir.
But you don't use this as a construction road.
No, ma'am, it's a separate road.
All right, ma'am, I think the issue, he has answered your question. You still have a question, a legitimate question about your issue with the land. But this is not the place, nor are we the people, nor is he the person who can answer that for you.
So you can't tell me if I can get in my backyard?
No, ma'am, we cannot. That is not on our plat. I would suggest that if it is an easement, a utility easement, then you may want to talk to SCEMG as a starting point and see what they will tell you.
So from my property line to the flag, be 25 foot, then they can do whatever they want to.
Well, from the property, the flag is the property line. From the flag on is theirs. There must be a 25-foot buffer. But you asked where the buildings start. From the flag, 25 feet is a buffer, and they can't start building until that 25 feet. So you will have at least 25 feet from the flag. I don't know where the flag is in relationship to your backyard. That's what you need to go and look at.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am. Please state your name and address.
Okay. My name is Carol Carver. My address is 108 Crestwood Drive, and I'm the fourth house in. I'm not opposed to it. I'm very happy
that it's going to be residential. My question is
not exactly what hers was, but the buffer behind us, my request is that as much green space be left as possible. There's mature trees out there, and I realize it's going to be 25 feet off. I just want as much green, because we do have like a tree stand behind us, just a nice little area, and I just hope that as much of that can be left as possible for our shade and the new house's shade also. And I guess my only other question is, I'm very happy they're coming in. I think 60 units is a lot compared to what is on 87 in a small amount of space. And I guess that's my other concern, is really tight. I don't know if they can go down any and how many lots they're going to put in there. But I do think it's a lot for a small amount of space when you compare to the 87 over here. Let me see.
What is the acreage on the 87? Do you know?
It's a lot more space. I mean, just looking at the map, you can tell.
I can tell. I just am asking for the...
The only other question I had was, do they have any idea at this time what will come in for the commercial property? Because that will affect our homes.
I mean, the commercial property is not before us. That will be a separate application, and people will have another opportunity to come back and speak to that.
It
is not
time.
Together. No, it is not connected to this. Right now, the only application before us is for the residential.
Okay. And is this city property? Because we're county, and we don't want to be annexed in. I mean, that's, we live out there because we don't.
Of course it is. That's why we're here.
Okay, that's my other question. Are they going to try to annex Elmwood Park at some point, do you think?
That's totally up to y'all in Elmwood Park.
And
the city's not going to annex you unless everybody in Elmwood, or most people
most
in Elmwood
people,
Park.
Most people, has to be a majority, right?
Yes, yeah, okay. Well, there's rules, but they're not going to go out and get you without y'all wanting to be in.
That sounds like a good point.
Yeah, we do not mandate annexation. It has to be requested.
Okay. My other thing on the buffer, I know it says a minimum of 25 feet. I actually walked back there and... further down where the Kensington homes are right now, and they back up to Elmwood Park, it looked like it was about 33 to 34 feet. And, you know, it just looked like a lot more space than 25 feet. So, I know it's going to vary wherever it is, but I'm just hoping that
it can be more, but it cannot be less than 25 feet.
Okay.
That's what we are requiring.
Okay. Well, I just hope they do leave as much green space as possible. There's a lot of wildlife out there. We get a lot of rabbits. We've had deer in our yard before, baby deer. We've had that rare woodpecker out in our trees. I mean, there's a lot of wildlife out there. So as much as possible can be left would be great.
And, you know, they that's something that we have discussed, and they will, you know, there will be a landscaping plan. They will be required there's so many, but if it's a certain width, if it's a certain trunk size, there are requirements that certain trees be left.
Okay.
So, and because there's so many, I know that our planning director has discussed some alternative plans, ways of developing that plan, but the intent is to leave as many as possible.
That would be nice, because the first existing Kensington, I don't think they did that with that. There's not many trees in there.
I don't think you're in the city. You're not in the city, that's why.
I mean, the first Kensington, the first phase, I don't think there was as many trees left, so that would be nice if they would do that this time.
We do fight for buffers for you.
Okay.
We do. We're big on buffers.
We appreciate it. And we're very pleased. I mean, y'all probably don't remember, but we fought Sam's. So we're very pleased
yes.
that this is going to be residential.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to be heard in opposition? All right, is there anyone else who would like to make any other comments? Yes, sir.
My name is Jack Whittington. I live at 620 Kensington Court. We moved into Kensington Court about 18 months ago, and what attracted us to this area was a small college town, and the subdivision we're in is mostly older people like myself. And one lady brought up to attention about the exit or egress in and out of off of Powder House. When you go out to go left or go right, you really have to be very fast like this, because cars flies and there's a dead space coming through there. And I'm a retired police officer, and I know about accidents. And I'm saying, you know, I'm just putting it right out, it's about dollar and cents. It's about money for the company, taxes for the city. My recommendation would be that it not be allowed. They could write that off as a tax and suck it up and lose it, because we have a nice subdivision, and you're going to have cars flying in and out there, and a lot of people walk. A lot of people our age don't hear very well. I almost got hit by a bicycle about a week and a half ago, not because I couldn't hear, because the guy didn't have a bell on his bicycle telling me he was coming behind me. But I'm just saying it's going to be very, very dangerous. You're going to have 120 cars approximately. It's going to be coming in and out of there. And it's going to be devastating for people that live on Vanderbilt particularly. I don't live on Vanderbilt, but right, you go up and go off of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying for community service, I would recommend that you recommend this city not to do this. And for the company that has the business, to take it off as a tax write-off, and it would be a good PR project. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. That's a good question. I'm not sure who I'm going to ask this to. You have to ask it to somebody specific, so you want to ask it. Sir, would you step back up for a question? There's a question from the commission, if you'd step back up to the podium.
You don't want to pass it because I'm retired.
No, sir. It's been a long time since I've ridden through there, so I just want to ask a few questions. And I'm sure all of you are members of the Homeowners Association. So with these considerations, I know that now it may be impossible to have someone go in and put in sidewalks for you after the fact.
We don't have sidewalks.
I understand. So, but have you considered for the speed issue requesting, and I'm not sure who this request would go to, having the little speed bumps to slow people down so that they...
I don't think anybody would like to have speed bumps. But
I'm not talking about the big ones. I'm talking about the little...
Okay, it's
this gentleman's.
Well, let me say this. I come out of state. I lived in the same kind of subdivision now, and that's what attracted it to me. We went to Florida to buy a home in Florida, but we just kind of drifted into Aiken, and it was very nice. And I like the college atmosphere in town. It took me a few more years to graduate from college than a lot of people, but still I have, you know, spent years on campus. But I'm saying it's a nice little town, it's a nice subdivision, and people are older, and that's what attracted me to it. I'm sure it's what attracted other people to it. And I know that they want to sell that piece of property, and I know the city wants taxes. But I came from West Virginia. They did the same thing to us. They tore our subdivision all apart and put I-35 into I-64 when they could have went down about five more miles. That's another story, I know. But they could have saved a few million dollars, but they didn't want to do it because we didn't have the influence. Well, we don't have the influence here either. I feel the city's going to do it, but maybe by the kindness of their heart, they'll not want the taxes that bad that they let us enjoy the subdivision we have now. It won't be enjoyable because cars will go in and out all time, night, and day.
Any other questions?
No. I was just going to say that it was mentioned that the original site was planned to be 120 homes anyway.
Right.
And so what they have done is taken the extra site property, they've reduced the size of what was going to be the commercial area because it was actually going to be larger, so they've made that smaller to be a 6-acre. And in doing that, they've been able to add a few more homes so that instead of just having 40 more homes, they're going to have 60 more homes. So they've reduced the commercial size so that they can get more homes in there. So I think you're going to be happier to have a smaller commercial area and a few more homes than to have a big, large commercial area behind your...
No, I'll be happy if we just have it like it is right now. Because the point is we don't really need it.
That's not likely to happen.
I mean, you're not selling me, so I'm saying is, I enjoy the subdivision because I like to walk. And like I said, there's older people, and they don't hear things sometimes, and you're going to have cars flying in and out of there because they're going to be a separate part from us, even though they'll be in conjunction to us. They won't be familiar with the people here, and I'm just living here now, and they may be older people too. I don't know, but I'm just saying it's a bad idea. We go.
Thank you for your comment. Thank you. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Farina Khan. I was one of the very first people in that subdivision at Kensington. And I guess I'm a little confused because maybe someone can explain it to me, but last year at our homeowners meeting, we had the mayor there and the city commission, and a lot of this was discussed with a planning person for this, and it was agreed on that there wouldn't be a through street from Vanderbilt all the way to Whiskey Road.
There is not one.
So where's the is? They're not connecting Vanderbilt and Whiskey?
No.
Okay, so how are we going to get in and out? Is the subdivision going there and just coming, looping around and coming back out on Vanderbilt?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It connects at the top up there. So we see the 13.36 acres on the left side.
Okay.
The top street right there where the loop mm-hmm. forms, it connects to an existing road.
Okay.
That's the entryway in and out.
And the street size are going to remain the same and everything else? Is
yes.
that what's...
The street size?
Yeah, we're not going to have bigger streets or...
You are going to have a sidewalk up there. There's going to be a sidewalk.
On the newer section.
Yes. Only on the newer section.
On the new section. Okay, because I was confused. I was just wondering.
Well, hopefully this is good news that it won't come through there.
No, because when I walk my dog at 4 in the morning, there's a lot of people flying through there looking for an out to Whiskey Road to bypass the light. And they speed through there.
They'll soon learn. I mean, there's no outlet. So I guess once they might drive in there, they'll
Hey, ladies out. And gentlemen, we need to ask y'all to please be respectful to who's speaking and not carry on other conversations. You know, you all have a homeowners association, and that may be the place to be discussing what you all can do within your own community. If you don't like speed bumps, then maybe do something else to help. If nothing else, take license numbers and report them to the police department if they're speeding. But that's not something that we can address here. Is there anyone else who would like to make a comment? Yes, ma'am. Now you may.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
And happy Valentine's Day. We're all so glad to be here tonight. My name is Lynn Godreau. My husband, sister, and I own a property at 293 Vanderbilt. We are new residents. We moved here in last June. Okay, with the understanding that, yes, there might be something planned residential on that side, on that other end of the street, but it was years and years and years away.
Uh-oh.
So my first question is, what is the real timeline for this thing?
Well, if we make a recommendation for approval, because we are a recommending body, then it will have to go to City Council for two readings. When City Council approves that, which may be, you know, 6 weeks or so in total, then that means that the developer gets to continue working with the planning department, and they will finalize their timeline, and they will get started on whatever, you know, construction timeline they have. It could be a matter of several months before they get started.
Okay. My next question is kind of a procedural one, because in reading the agenda for this planning meeting, it it almost sounded like it was a done deal, basically. The traffic study is done. The responsible city planner, is wholeheartedly behind it. As long as it doesn't impact traffic on Whiskey, the city is really happy. Do we actually have any real opportunity to influence?
Yes, you do. Let me be clear with you on how the process works. When there is a request of this nature, there are certain requirements. Having a traffic study is one of them. We want to have all of that information before we make our decision. The staff, our planning department, reviews everything, meets with the developer. In fact, if you'll notice under possible conditions, that there are a number of conditions that at their request have been added. Those are all for us to consider. We have these meetings so that we can consider everything that you say. No decision has been made until you all are through talking and it comes back to the commission for a vote. So as of right now, and we have discussed, we've asked some questions, we've listed some concerns, which have many of you have raised tonight and have been answered, but we do not make a decision until after we hear what everyone has to say.
Okay, thank you.
All that staff is saying is that they do not see some problems, or they do see some issues, which they have alerted us in the conditions. Other than that, it's for information.
Well, I know that there must be sort of objective metrics that are being used to mm-hmm. sort of give the okay that this doesn't appear to be an unreasonable amount of traffic.
That's right.
for this small artery, basically. My concerns are predominantly from a public safety standpoint, because my sister is the resident there. We made this investment because we were looking for a safe, cloistered environment where she could feel secure and walk her dog safely and have a support infrastructure of friendly neighbors, and they have been wonderful. And we've already experienced some concerns about the traffic unchecked, and you've already said that perhaps is something that can only be addressed now within our own POA. Is that correct? Is that what I understood?
Certainly if you have a homeowners association, one of the objectives of a homeowner association is to lobby, if you will, for internal things that might be helpful. Certainly you all as citizens have the right to report habitual speeders, because honestly a lot of people who speed do so habitually. You have the right as citizens to report them to public safety, but that's not something that we can address here. I recognize that there may be some issues with traffic, but that this isn't
okay. And that is within the existing, already defined residential area. So the real concern comes with adding an additional potentially 120 cars to a single corridor in and out that is already posing some serious safety concerns. It's not well lit. There are no sidewalks. I applaud the additional measures that were defined for the new subdivision, but of course it doesn't help the existing one, is what we've been told.
I recognize.
We don't have an opportunity for sidewalks. There's been an unwillingness to add additional street lighting. I'm not even sure what the concern is about speed bumps. Personally, I'd be perfectly happy with speed bumps, but I'm not driving up and down that street every day the way these guys are. So what do we do here? It's a real safety concern.
When they do the traffic study, is it just external to the development?
Correct. When we do the traffic study, it's on impacted intersections and roadways.
Main roadways.
External, oh, so you
right.
weren't even looking at how it would impact the community inside the boundaries?
Well, internally, the streets are designed for a residential standard, and Public Works sets that as the traffic in a traffic manual, what a typical section of a residential street is supposed to carry, and this complies with that.
Okay, and I know that makes sense to you. To me, it kind of sounds like not my job, somebody else's problem. We've got this boundary, a subdivision that was originally targeted to be 120 homes, is now 140 homes, and this small corridor that's already experiencing problems is now going to be loaded incredibly more. And that's just inside the community. Then there is the issue of that intersection between Vanderbilt and Powder House and the additional traffic there. So is the city willing to entertain a traffic light, some caution light, something to give people more security getting in and out of the neighborhood? It's hair-raising. I know that there are not enough people at risk for the city to be too concerned, but it's hair-raising.
I don't think that's a fair statement. We're concerned for all citizens. The whole process for getting a light is a process all within its own. And the traffic study didn't have any recommendations along those lines.
That's basically a DOT.
Issue.
It's a South Carolina Department of Transportation issue, traffic lights. The city cannot walk out there and put a traffic light out there. She can't do it.
So does the city have any responsibility in interfacing with DOT, or is that left to us citizens?
I think the city would respond to requests from the Homeowners Association and, of course, your legislators and everybody. Legislators are basically what controls it. But they would respond to a Homeowners Association request for a light, at least to investigate it, whether it's needed or not.
Okay. I think the best luck that has been had with that has been to work with your legislators, and if you can get a number of people, let's be real honest, the legislators...
With our state legislators.
Yes. The largest number of voters who ask for their help are going to be the ones that will get it. And they can interface much more directly in Columbia with DOT and hopefully, pass on that request. But the city itself has absolutely no right to erect a stoplight.
Put a stoplight there. A stop sign or a caution light.
Is all DOT. That's what makes it difficult. We do have standards for gauging, how much traffic becomes a problem or not, but part of it, sometimes I know that there are issues because the standards are based on normal drivers. The people you're talking about sound to be a little abnormal in terms of speeding.
That Powder House is a nice long strip. There's
yes, it is.
Hills where there's a blind corner coming up.
It is, and it's tempting for people to accelerate a little bit more than perhaps they should. All the more reason to, just as y'all said, you had, the mayor and some of the council members and all. I think, it's very possible for your homeowners association to request a meeting with the homeowners and your elected officials and try to get their help on doing that. And we're really not trying to say to you it's somebody else's problem. What we're really saying is it is beyond the scope of what we're responsible for, even within the city. So that would be my best advice on trying to get help with that.
Okay. All right. So as this is a hearing about the concept of the development,
right,
and I understand that things change. I'm not afraid of the commercial development either, frankly. That's going to be most likely sequestered off. There wouldn't be direct access to the community. Mm-hmm. And it might be nice to have a few things that within walking distance of the community for people that aren't able to travel easily. My primary concern remains that the plan to use Vanderbilt as the single entry and exit point for these additional potentially 120 vehicles. And that doesn't count the garbage trucks, the service and delivery, the mail, all the other things that end up you know, clogging traffic and representing a potential hazard for pedestrians in the community. In an area that unfortunately wasn't required to have sidewalks when it was first conceived.
Well, the good news is we've come a long way, and now we are at least, you know, trying to require some of those amenities.
So my question to this body and to the developer is, wouldn't it be possible for them to take another look at the transportation plan, the ingress-egress point, and come up with access to this new subdivision that they are arguing would be separate and distinct in its own right, that right off of Powder House Road?
I think they've exhausted looking at all those options, haven't they?
They don't own the property.
I mean, yeah. The one thing, it's not their property.
That's right.
It's that area that they bought off for commercial doesn't belong to the developers that are building the residential.
It doesn't connect to Powder House Road.
It doesn't connect to Powder House Road.
I think the reason that they did not want the access to Whiskey Row, which was expressed by one of the people that spoke earlier, is that they don't want people cutting through from Whiskey to Powder House through your subdivision.
And we absolutely do not, but why does it have to go through our subdivision at all? Why wouldn't it be a segmented, subdivision?
Because they don't own the property. There's no place to put a road. They don't own the property.
I'm not understanding. The land abuts Whiskey Road.
No, she's saying they own the commercial property, so they could run theoretically could run it through the commercial property to Whiskey Road.
I understand, but then you're going to get everybody and his brother coming off Whiskey Road saying, well,
No, they wouldn't connect to Vanderbilt. I mean, that's what they're saying.
Absolutely.
They would end the road there. There would be the circle that would come off Whiskey Road. There's a lot of reasons not to put additional traffic in and out of Whiskey Road. There's a lot of reasons not to do that. Whiskey Road is already vastly over-accessed. We are trying to stop access to Whiskey where we can. Unfortunately, in your case, I understand it creates an issue. I understand that, and I don't know what to do about it. Don't have a good solution for you.
So, where do we go from here? Because this is
good.
You will have at least two other opportunities, you know, depending on what our recommendation to council is. It will have two hearings at council, and you are perfectly welcome to come to the city council meetings and express your concerns. That is one of the wonderful things about the process, with it being, you know, three levels of decision making. You'll have ample opportunity to be heard and to have an opportunity to sway the decision.
Being heard is not exactly the same thing as a real opportunity to sway, is my concern.
Well, we're listening to you.
Yeah, I get that. I would encourage and plead with the developer to take a look then at what it would take to acquire this strip of land that would give them separate access directly to Powder House Road, and not look at adding this additional public safety threat and congestion to the existing. You know, unless he's prepared to add sidewalks and street lights and speed bumps and whatever it takes to create a safe environment for the residents that are already there.
All right. Thank you.
Madam Chair? Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to interrupt. Pardon. May I ask Mr. Green a couple of
questions?
That's
what I was just going to do. Mr. Green, would you come forward, please? Would you address for all of us the concerns about an additional road?
Well, I think, I mean, you pointed out as far as that connection to Powder House, there is no ownership of property that could carry us to Powder House. You know, that road out of the existing subdivision was stubbed out this way for a continuation. I think it's important to maintain the separation between the commercial and the residential. I think it's been expressed here tonight that the residents that have spoken would rather see, or some of them anyway, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, would rather see this residential behind their homes than commercial. And again, it was discussed by one of the commissioners about the access point going out to Whiskey and the desired limitation of access points. Obviously, as we deal with any of these access points, they are DOT roads, has been noted by the Planning Commission. The warrants for a traffic signal are sometimes tough to get. A lot of times people want to put them up, but the warrants aren't met and DOT will not allow it. Certainly, I think your suggestions of going to the legislators, approaching them as an HOA, even requesting that the city may request that study to be done, I think that's great. I don't know how far it would go, but you know, I'm sure DOT would be perfectly willing to look at that.
Mr. Green, if I may?
Yes, sir.
Is it safe to say that this phase four was or has been, you know, planned for whatever time it was going to happen, but it has been planned for some time? In other words, there's three existing phases. Was phase four always part of the master plan, just generally speaking?
No, I mean, the original concept plan that was approved for the overall property actually had that whole front side being commercial. And part of the interconnectivity requirement that the city put on at that point was to create that interconnection between the commercial and residential, which we are trying with this plan to continue to create that separation and not have that interconnectivity. I think one of the conditions that's on this is to provide a pedestrian connection there, but still not provide that vehicular.
Right. I guess what I'm asking, when phase one was first conceptualized, was there always going to be a phase two, three, and four?
There was always going to be two and three. Again, this part of the property was originally conceived to be all commercial.
All commercial. Okay, so it's probably unrealistic to think that those 13 acres would be a forest preserve in perpetuity. Is that a fair statement? Yeah. Something's going to be built.
I guess
that's what I mean. I'm just trying to differentiate two things, and that is that you said it was going to be commercial, now it's going to be residential, but. I'm just trying to establish that it was unrealistic to think that this would never be, that those 13 acres would never be developed.
Correct. I believe in 2000, I won't get my date wrong, but somewhere in 2011, 2012, there was actually an approved concept plan for a portion of this property, which was commercial.
Okay. I guess part two would be, so I wanted to establish that first. But part two, which I think perhaps the residents have a point here, would be the density. You've got 60 units all the way in the back. So everyone has to spill out onto Vanderbilt to get out. You would think the higher density would be towards the front near the exit point. Establishing part one that this is probably going to be developed and that residential is preferable, it still seems fairly dense to be in the back of the subdivision where everyone's going to come from the back to the front out of one access point.
Well, again, the density on this portion is actually less dense than with the original approval for the front section.
It
built the 120 units on that front section that he had approved. I believe it's pretty close. Right, if you put 120 units on that front piece and the 60 on this back.
Right, but you said there was 87.
That were actually built. The original approval was for 120.
Okay, on phases 1, 2, and 3?
Yes.
Okay. 87 were built. Are there any more planned or has construction ceased?
There's one opportunity, and I have no idea whether there's any time frame to actually construct it or not for one additional duplex.
Okay, do you know what the units per acre is on phases 1 through 3? It's 4.5
for the 87 that were...
Yes, sir.
I don't off the top of my head.
Because it just seems that phase 4, just on paper, does seem very dense. And a heck of a lot more dense than the first three phases.
Again, I think when I'm looking at the numbers, it's similar in density to the original approval for the 120.
Well, again, the probably this being residential and coming out to Vanderbilt is something that does have an air of inevitability, but it just seems to put that many, to put that density in the back where everyone from the back then has to come up Vanderbilt to meet up with everyone coming and going from the front. Was there ever any talk about just a lesser density in that phase?
Again, we've gone through several concepts, several different layouts. This was the one that we believe to be actually marketable on the property.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Yes. All right.
I'm Lori Godreau, 293 Vanderbilt. I had asked a question earlier about the lighting in the development, and I felt like I was kind of dismissed on that. It's not a matter of the brightness of the lights, because I wouldn't want a light over my house that's shining real bright in my face every night either. But I do think there is enough space and call to put additional lighting up. I'm not asking that they turn up the brightness, except on Powder House and Vanderbilt, it's very dark there, and it narrows, and it's a blind spot. I would think it would not be unrealistic to ask the developer to improve the entrance into Vanderbilt, since it seems like this is what I'm hearing with all the hoopla. I still think it's going to happen. So lighting is an issue, a light is an issue, safety is an issue. It's very dark at that entrance, and it curves. There's blind spots, and it dips. And there are people that would like to walk, and I don't think even in the evening, and there have been some ballistic email within our community about watching out for the driver instead of the driver watching out for the pedestrian. I am a pedestrian always now. I don't have the choice or the luxury of driving my own vehicle. So I think it needs to be addressed. I have found that Aiken's lovely, and I love the historical area where in the mediums between houses it's like a park there. Mm-hmm. They don't exist anywhere else. So I think in the planning in general for some of these communities, sidewalks are great, but that's not the end-all and be-all. Because I've seen cars jump on sidewalks, too.
Well, let me just address this, ma'am. Please remember that all we're here to do today is address this new phase. That is all this developer is doing right now. The existing development has absolutely nothing to do with our approval process this evening. Your concerns about that need to be addressed through your homeowners association and with the original developer. I don't know if it was the same or not, but once the developer turns it over to the homeowners association, then the residents have to deal with the homeowners association within themselves. You pay dues, you probably have regime fees, that's what you use your money for, is to put up extra lighting or park benches or whatever you want to do.
I get that, but I don't think the existing community should be penalized for the new coming in. I think they should cough up some bucks, quite honestly, and put this stuff in for us instead of us having to go hat in hand and ask for it to happen. So, well, this is stuff they can do. They could. They're willing. If they're willing to do it, they're. The prices of the homes. This is an existing community that they are invading at this point. And well, I feel invaded, and I feel like I got lied to when we decided to go into this community, quite honestly, because we were told it absolutely wasn't going to happen. As early as January, we had a meeting in the community. We said, it's not really going to happen, and if it does, it's going to be years away. Well, they knew.
Well, ma'am, I don't know who told you that, but when you buy a home in a development that is not yet through being developed, if there is open land, this is a risk that may happen.
But again, I asked, who is the developer? They haven't identified themselves. It's something LLC. Well, who are they? And were they part of the original development? Because I'd like to know who the contractors are. I'd like to know who they're subbing out.
That is a separate issue from what we're addressing this evening. I recognize that you have an issue, but we cannot vote on that.
Okay, well, thank you for your time.
I think what you need to do is work with your homeowners association, and your homeowner probably has officers. Those people who are chosen to represent you need to contact the developer and make your request known while they're doing the construction in here. If they will add extra lights or whatever it is you may want. That is a separate negotiation that you all may enter into with them.
My point is, I don't think it should be a separate negotiation. This is part of the plan.
Well, we cannot.
Would they be willing to help with that?
We cannot mandate them to do something in a development different than what they're applying for. We cannot mandate them.
And I would behoove you to ask them to amend their application on our behalf.
That's not our place.
We cannot be the intermediary on that part.
No. That door has closed, and you all, the time to do that was when that application was first made. You all need to try to work with them through your homeowners association, but I will tell you that, you know, we're sorry, but that there is nothing that we can do for the existing development as part of this request.
Madam Chair, just to...
Thank you.
Because I didn't know the process. I'm new to this. Really my first time even having an opportunity to own the home. So, your resumes.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, just to answer the other commissioner's question in regards to the units per acre, the original development was approved for 4.54 units per acre. They developed 3.297 units per acre. And this proposed is at 4.5 units per acre. So.
Thank you.
Yeah. So well within what they were approved for. Yes, ma'am.
Just a quick question in response to what Mr. Rabin just said.
Yes, ma'am.
That 4.2, is that based on the whole acreage or just the acreage of the new subdivision?
So the 26.3 acres was phase 1, 2, and 3
right on
there. They were originally approved for 120 units.
Right.
So that comes out to 4.548 acres.
Mm-hmm.
They actually developed 3.297 units per acre.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually, when they were approved for 4.5, they did 3.3.
They built less,
yep.
Yes.
This is at 4.5 units per acre. So same approval,
yeah.
Give or take.
4.5, and the acres is just for that new section, or is that computation based on
it's
the entire...
It's just on the new section.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to make a comment? Yes, sir. Valentine candy tonight.
Good evening. Michael Ocasio, 668 Kensington Court. I'm the president of the Kensington Property Owners Association.
Well, please.
Let me make some clarifications, please. A traffic study was done by our police department okay, about 4 years ago. In that traffic study, they counted the amount of traffic that we had coming into the complex at the time. They also took a speed limit on each of the cars that went through. It was determined by the police department that we did not need speed bumps. There wasn't the traffic concentration and there wasn't the speed at that particular point in time. Now, again, this was 2 or 3 years ago. Since then, we've had some people come in that decided that they want to go faster than what the 30-mile-an-hour speed limit is. Okay? We have counseled with these people. We have talked to them. Okay? And when you got FedEx people and UPS people coming in doing over the speed limit, it's very difficult to get their license plates and report them. Okay? So let me... We are not sitting on our hands here, number one. Number two, the lighting. The front entrance, about 3 years ago, okay, we had a new light installed, okay, because it was dark and because it was a bad situation. A new light was installed. As far as the lighting around the complex, we went to the city. We said, can we put another, on my street, on Kensington, we asked if they would put another street in. They said, what you got is what you get. Basically because there's enough concentration of light in that particular area because the density is not there. It's open land. There's not a lot of property. There's not a lot of homes there. Nothing else we could do. So the Homeowner Association is not sitting on their hands, okay, and not doing anything. Anytime we get a complaint or anytime we get a situation where somebody is uncomfortable, we try to do something about it. Thank you.
One moment, sir. Any questions? Okay.
I just have a question. This is from my own knowledge, from those of you who know. If you want a street light put in, you can put that in and pay for it yourself, can't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so mm-hmm. you can put street lights in, mm-hmm. because my neighbors have one in their backyard that I can't stand. But it's in their yard, so they wanted it.
Yeah, you're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
All right, is there anyone else who would like to speak? Yes, sir.
Well, what's going on at the corner of Powder House and Whiskey? We were told there was a gas station going in. And is there any chance we can get a left-hand turn lane from Whiskey Road onto Powder House?
Wait a minute. A left turn on Whiskey to Powder House?
If they're heading south.
It's been a...
There's a
lane. Oh, that...
There's a turn lane. There's just no arrow.
But isn't that coming, though, as part of the Monday?
Wasn't that part of the Monday's thing?
Correct. That's my understanding. Is that
that's coming. That's coming.
Left arrow.
Yeah, that was part of the Monday's approval, so Monday's corner. So I don't know what the time frame of that would be, again, DOT, but that's been approved. Yes, ma'am.
Debbie Rossetti, 281 Vanderbilt. Just want to reiterate with Lynn and Kent that 60 new homes, I mean, it sounds great, with two drivers per home is 120 more drivers driving in and out of Vanderbilt. That's a lot. That's just a lot. So if there's another way that they can get out, maybe Surrey Park, I don't know. It's a lot of cars. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, is there anyone else who would like to? Yes, sir.
My name's Lanny Honecker. I live on 308 Vanderbilt. Naturally, my concern is the excess and entry into the subdivision, not only from the traffic that it's going to throw on Vanderbilt, but another concern also is public safety, fire response, ambulance response coming into that area through one entrance, and you get those houses concentrated to the density that they're going to be, and you have a fire in this back area, in that loop, you're going to lose a lot of homes before a fire can ever respond back there. So I'm, Mr. Kovich?
Yes, sir.
Your comments that you made gave me a little hope that there may be consideration to an alternative entrance into this subdivision from Whiskey. Other than that, I'd assume see commercial come in there because that would give you an entrance off of Whiskey and not through our subdivision. Thank you.
This has been set.
So can we talk about that? All right.
We do
need to address that.
Yeah, we do have a condition. There is a emergency access road for fire and police that will go from Whiskey directly into phase four. Can you see that on the left-hand side there? Now, that's not going to be a permanent thoroughfare. There might be a crash gate or some other locked mechanism for access, but that addresses your concern about the emergency vehicle. They will not have to go all the way around and come in.
And that only leaves me to wonder why the emergency access cannot be considered a primary access or developed to be a primary access.
Primarily because we are really trying to restrict the traffic onto Whiskey Road.
Oh, I know that.
Also to restrict
it on us.
I know, but also to restrict that traffic on Whiskey Road from using your subdivision
as a cut through.
And as someone who lives on a cut through street, I do. It's a very small street. Prior to the thing being built, the
bypass
being built, every day between 6:30 in the morning and 9 o'clock, we counted as many as 100 cars would come through my little street. Since they built that, the cars aren't coming, but it's still dangerous. They still come through at 45 miles an hour on my two-block street, and so I have to be careful backing out. So what they're trying to do is to prevent through traffic coming through your subdivision, because that's what they'll do. As soon as people figure out, well, I can turn right here and cut through, you're going to get that traffic coming through. So they're trying to...
May I please?
Go ahead.
If you do not open that...
Yeah, they're talking about shutting off the line, the road. They're talking about shutting off Vanderbilt.
It's already shut off. There's a gate there. There's a gate right there.
But they're not going to do that. I know.
We know.
This way.
This is an extension of that.
Yeah, we understand. I understand. You're wanting to create an entrance to Whiskey Road for that little area right there. Not going to happen.
Why?
Not going to happen. Whiskey Road is South Carolina Department of Transportation would have to approve it, and they would never approve it. Never. Because you have got an access, it's owned by the developers, and there's a clean access back to Powder House. I don't think they would ever approve it. You know?
And that's not the way they're
choosing to do it. Commercial property would have an entrance, but it would I don't know. I don't know if they would. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know if
they would grant. That is one of the problems with developing this commercially. I don't know whether they would get a cut. I mean, I maybe somebody knows, but I don't know. Do you, Ryan? There's no guarantee.
They likely would, it has to do with distance to other intersections and things like
and
that.
And see, it's close. That's a close to that intersection already. So I don't know.
They develop this
maybe they would cut doesn't... even with a commercial development.
Yeah. Probably not. All right. Are there any other comments? Anyone else like to speak?
All right, not hearing any, then it will be back to the commission for a motion.
Madam Chairman, I would recommend that with regard to application 17-23004, tax parcel number 123-07-02-009, that we approve the proposal, concept plan approval, with the conditions listed herein, including the emergency access road, the pedestrian connection, the sidewalk, the waiver, 24-foot wide waiver, the other waiver regarding garages, that any changes required be submitted within 90 days, and the applicant sign an agreement regarding the conditions of approval within 90 days.
Second. Any discussion?
If I could just quickly go back to my previous comments, I don't think it's unreasonable at all that this would be a residential development, and it's preferable to being commercial. The last thing y'all want is some big commercial development backing up to your neighborhood. And I also agree with Mr. Hunter that I don't think DOT would ever approve access from Whiskey Road. I do, however, still have some issues with the density. And most of the density, 60 homes being in the back, then they have to come out that one road to leave. And I'm looking on the map, and I see a lot more green space in phases 1, 2, and 3. For whatever reasons that happened, it's just I'm just hung up on the density.
Okay. Any other
this was
discussion?
2008.
Okay. Yeah. All right, then I'll call for the vote. All in favor? Opposed? All right, you all will probably want to check with the city manager's office to see when you are on the agenda for city council, and I would encourage you to make your thoughts known then as well. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we still have more business to conduct. You are free to go, but please do so quietly. Thank you. All right, our final item. We have application.
You're welcome. I appreciate that.
He's one of them. May I ask those of you who are not participating in the next, please continue your conversations outside. Our last item of business is application 17-60004. It's a rezoning request by Rural Health Services. The address is 740 Teague Street. And for this particular application, I'm going to turn the rest of the meeting over to our Vice Chairman, Member Hunter, who will continue. I'm going to recuse myself because I sit on the board of this organization. I will step out. Please don't forget to come get me when you're done.
Okay. Before we start, can we get that door to close?
The door, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. This is, as Madam Chairman has indicated, the rezoning request from single-family residential to GD on 740 Teague Street. Anybody here to speak in favor of this proposal? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, everyone. I am Gigi Walker. I'm an employee of Rural Health Services, and I'm here to speak or actually take questions in regards to the application.
Address, please.
Your address. My home address?
Yes.
142 Hodges Bay Drive, Aiken, South Carolina.
I'll just summarize, if you would, for the board, for the commission, why you're requesting this.
Oh, yes, sir. Rural Health Services is a federally qualified health center. We recently constructed the Clyburn location, which is located at 1000 Clyburn Place. We provide both obstetrics and gynecology, as well as just primary health care services, as well as dental optometry. We also have expanded to provide x-ray. And those services are provided to all citizens in Aiken County, regardless of their ability to pay. Regardless of their insurance status. So essentially the reason why we are asking for the rezoning of the property is because we would like to use it as a part of our operations. Currently our plan for that property is to use it to house our case management department, which essentially those are employees that work for the organization that are tracking our patients, making sure that they're receiving quality health care, as well as we would house our case management workers, our outreach and enrollment workers there. Our outreach and enrollment workers are essentially like our marketing department. They go out and ensure that people in the community know what we do and how we do it.
Do you plan to use the existing building with modifications? Or?
Yes, we would use the existing building with modifications, of course, to accommodate what we have planned for. Our plan is to keep the exterior, to keep it with the residential feel, and, of course, do landscaping in the front yard to make it attractive.
And get rid of the swimming pool?
I don't know the plans for the swimming pool. I think at one point we just talked about covering it.
Would there be cars parking there or not?
Currently we have our mobile unit there, and we park that there just kind of on the weekends or when we're not using it. Our mobile unit goes out to all of the schools, or the rural schools in Aiken County, and provide health and dental services. So we've been parking it there temporarily. As far as additional, like, staff parking, we would require our staff to use our existing parking lot at Columbia Avenue.
Okay. Questions? Anybody else?
I'm concerned if you've got a swimming pool back there right now, and I'm familiar with that house, very, very familiar with it. It's a nice size pool, but if you go commercial, and I don't know if there's planning issues with that or not, as far as an additional fence, protective equipment, and that kind of thing that might have to be installed prior to putting a commercial property with a swimming pool. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what the code would call on that, but I'm certainly would feel confident in saying that probably a fence or something would be required on that at a minimum to keep it safe. And then you got commercial property and you're doing health care where you're going to have people coming in there with their children and that kind of thing, and having a, well, you've got a property that you've got caseworkers or you've got outreach people there that are going to be bringing their families or children to come meet with those people, and there's a potential for a child to be there, and I wouldn't want to see a child drown in that pool. So I would like to maybe consider that as we make our decision today, because I think that's a significant risk. And the other thing is, because you do have, and it's adjacent to the other property, and you do have people coming in there for OBGYN type issues, they're bringing their children, and I wouldn't want a kid to walk away from that other property or get out of mom's car when she went looking and go. So that's a concern of mine.
Currently that pool is fenced.
Okay.
Yes.
It's just the GIS map that we have, it doesn't really clearly show it.
Yes, so there is a fence there.
Okay.
So if your employees are going to be parking on the Columbia Avenue site, what route will they take to get to this building? Because there's no defined pathway, or
our defined pathway would probably be a sidewalk that would be constructed from our parking lot going into around to the front of the house.
On the fence for the pool, is it secured by a lock? Keeping someone
yes,
from going
sir.
And the lock is there.
Yes, sir. That was one of the first things we did when we acquired the property.
Did y'all consider any other zoning than a GB? You consider it a more restrictive zoning designation than GB?
I think the reason why we generally went with GB, and I'm not the one that actually did the zoning application. He is out of town, and he asked me to come before. But the reason why we did the GB application was because everything else is already zoned GB that we own in that area.
My only concern is, and this, you sound crazy, 10 years from now, mm-hmm. if we've made that GB, and you got a swimming pool, realistically, somebody could put a spa in there or a massage parlor in there. It's got a pool in the backyard. And that's what concerns me, is that we've got a piece of property that potentially could be, because it's plotted out as one little piece of land, could be anything. If you, 10 years from now, decided, hey, we're going to shut it down, it wasn't worth it to us, we're going to keep business in the Clyburn building, we're going to do this, this, and this, but that building could become anything. You could put a chicken wing place in there and say, we got a pool. It could be college kids. I mean, I don't know, it could be a real disclaimer from the neighborhood that's already there.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a thought. I'm just trying to think out beyond the box.
Do you have conditions to rezoning requests?
It depends what the conditions are.
Filling in that swimming pool. I mean, I agree with Bob on a safety issue, and I know that fences work for people who respect fences, mm-hmm. but I also know a lot of kids can climb fences and would want to, even though you had it covered with a cover, in that neighborhood you have a lot of kids. I mean, there are a lot of young children in that neighborhood of all ages, mm-hmm. from the high school down. And quite frankly, I'd be more worried about the high school kids than I would be younger kids. But
well, I don't. I guess the pool doesn't bother me. The pool's there now. You know, it's being dealt with now. Y'all obviously would have liability coverage, and I would strongly ensure that if we agree to this, that you contact your insurer and make sure your liability coverage is up to date, as it's going to be. It could be an issue with that pool, but. What about the next door? What about the neighbors? What about Mr. Chavis? What does he have to say about this? Do you know? Have you talked with him?
I have not talked to him personally, no, okay. Sir.
Well, I'm not asking you to say anything other than direct communications that
yes.
you might have had with him. Anybody else? Questions? Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else wants to speak on behalf? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Helen B. Jefferson. I live at 721 Teague Street, directly across from that. And I have a lot of issues with that. Number one, we didn't know what it was going to be. No one has even had the decency to knock on the door and talk to us about, hey, we're moving in here, we want to make it this, thus, whatever. No decency whatsoever. So we didn't even know what it was going to be. Living in, right across from it, I've seen a lot happen. I've seen people crawl right under that flimsy fence and go in there. I've seen people use that cut through right on the side of the house as a walk through to get to the Clyburn building. We didn't raise a ruckus when the Clyburn building went up. We thought, okay, it'll help some people. When they had the grand opening, they didn't have the decency to come talk to us and say, hey, we're going to have a grand opening. It may impact your driveway. We had cars blocking access to our driveway. We were blocked in our own homes. Those are the kinds of things that we're looking at, and those are the kinds of things that I'm concerned with. And if it sounds like I have a little high pitch in my voice, it's because I'm very concerned. I have grandchildren that come and visit and stay with me sometimes. Of course I'm worried about their safety. I'm not trying to impede progress at all, but when I bought that property where I am, I knew I had to deal with the school traffic early in the morning and late in the evening. I didn't know I was going to have to deal with all the other traffic. There's a lot of foot traffic through there going to the Clyburn Center. We have people walking across our lawn. We can't even grow grass. They use our lawn as a drive-by. thank you for being concerned for us. And I hope that you guys will seriously consider what you know, giving the okay for this. I really do.
Would you, is Mr. Chavis here? Does Mr. Chavis and his wife, do you know them?
I do.
They live, I assume, right across, almost across the street from you.
Not across the street, right next to them. There's
okay.
not a street between them. They're butted up against
them. They are butted right up against it, but you are across the street.
I'm across the street.
Okay.
In the weird-looking greenhouse.
Okay. And you've been there how long?
I've been there 11 years.
What's Mr. Chavis' position on this?
We haven't spoken. The only people that have spoken are me and Miss Rose. Miss Rose lives right behind me.
Okay. She also lives in the neighborhood?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And does she... Is there any other questions for this lady?
Anybody? I don't mind answering.
My concerns
are real.
Was it more the swimming pool aspect of things? Or?
Well, not just the swimming pool. We really didn't know what it was going to be. So we didn't know if it was going to be some, I don't know, chicken wing place, you said, or something that could be turned into that later. We didn't know. It's enough traffic as it is. We just don't want any more.
I understand. Did you understand what that she said as far as its intended use right now was going to be outpatient?
And that curtailed...
Not outpatient, excuse me. Let me get that correct. I apologize.
Caseworker building.
Caseworker, office space type thing.
Well, when I heard her say that, trust me, that decreased a lot of my questions and concerns.
But you realize that if we change the zoning and they decide to sell it,
right,
that's when it could become the chicken wing place.
I know. I'm scared to death.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Anybody else want to... Yes, ma'am.
My name is Carolyn Proto, and I think my mom, Rosie Cooper, is going to be next. But she lives at 712 Bruce Wood. And this 740, does it go all the way down to Columbia Road?
Oh.
No.
It does not.
It does
the
not.
The Clyburn Center owns the property directly down to Columbia Road.
Clyburn Center owns all the way from where you see that word site.
Right.
All the way down below there.
They own everything in pink.
Everything
okay.
in pink.
So right now on the Clyburn Center, you come in on Clyburn Drive off of Columbia.
Correct.
Across from UPS.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. But that corner is all wooded, very nice, you know, a green space area. You know, and you're talking about changing that whole site to GB, then down the road, and everything else until you get to the high school is residential.
That's correct.
It's already GB.
It's already general business. Yeah. Everything in pink.
Pink is already.
Is already general business.
That's already GB.
So, and from our understanding and the questions that we asked in our meeting, at some point in the future, who knows, they intend to allow possible development of that area to bring in separate buildings for dentistry, ophthalmology, whatever.
Okay, so why not make that area build their building and leave the residential residential?
I think that's a legitimate question. We can't answer that question.
Yeah.
You know, we're a committee. We don't own the property.
Right.
Well, legitimate question, though.
I don't think you should change it.
My name is Rosie Cooper. I live at 712 Bruce Wood, and I've been there over 60 years. Okay?
60? You say 60?
60. Zero.
And she's
wow.
only 62, so.
Yeah. You don't look at me over 62.
And they say, I mean, with the lady said, was they plan to do this, that, and the other. Well, where's the plan for you to approve? I mean, she said they're going to build the walkway between, and they're going to park over there where the medical center is now and walk over to this site that they're going to have an office on, but I mean, there's, I don't see any plan that says that.
No, the only thing we're concerned with is whether or not that site is going to remain as a residential zoning or is going to go to a GB, general business zoning. That one lot, Mr. Chavis, right next to Mr. Chavis. That's all we're concerned with.
Yeah. Well, we're residential. We're a nice residential. They've built a nice little residential area about a block down from there. It's been residential for, like I say, over 60 years. So I hope, like I say, that you all consider the fact that there's enough area elsewhere to build office space or clinics or property that they already have, and just let us have our homes and not worry about chicken shack. Thank you.
Anybody else want to speak in opposition? Anybody else want to speak at all? Okay, is there a motion? Well, listen, I'll make a motion that we deny the request 17-6004, request for rezoning, based on the fact that we have, it is zoned residential. It is, there's a lot of general business property available to do what they want with. Whereas the man right next door is not here, we do have at least three neighbors who have been there for a substantial period of time who are being already impacted by the Climate Center, and this would be a future impact. In my motion, I am absolutely saying nothing bad about Rural Health Services, Inc. Everything I've heard about them is good. I think they're doing good work. I believe in them. I'm for them. So I don't want the motion to seem like I'm opposed to the Rural Health Services, Inc., because I am not. But I think in this case, because we have opposition, if we had no opposition, if none of you had come tonight, I would have approved it. But where you have people coming out and it's going from a residential to a GB, that is a huge step. And so that's my motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion.
If I may, Mr. Vice Chair, from my standpoint, since there's general business on two sides, I didn't get a whole lot of heartburn about that being turned to GB. I'm very uncomfortable with a swimming pool on a commercial property, though. Mm-hmm. That's something I've been struggling with during this discussion.
I think Kent cheated and looked at my notes because that was exactly what I was going to say. And I mean, I looked at the fact that it was just a corner little more piece of what they already have, but I'm more concerned about the dangers associated with letting that become that. And the probability of someone putting a chicken shack there, and I'm sorry I use that phraseology, but it still remains the fact that down the road somebody could take that piece of property when it's no longer needed and become anything business. I do have a concern with that. So.
But they can do that anywhere along that strip.
On the other hand, they could. You know, it's all GB.
So I just want to make one comment for the record. In regards to the GB versus another potential type of development zoning class, that would be my recommendation to change this from the general business to a limited professional or special exemption classification, and potential to remove the pool, because I do agree with all of you in regards to the pool. But that way it would benefit the rural health, but it would also limit what that building could potentially be so it didn't adversely affect the neighborhood.
I'd be amenable to be reapproached in the future.
I don't think that's before us tonight, but no, they're saying if they were to reapply.
Correct. I can't make that.
I think me personally as a commissioner, I would consider it as part of this body if we were reapproached under the conditions that Mr. Raven just said.
And
if you don't mind, let me check. I believe if there is a denial, there is a certain period of time that they have, to, right. have to wait before they can bring it back to you.
So. I don't know that you're going to have to make us aware of the details because I'm like,
that's happened before.
Something has to, it has to change. Something has to change.
Correct.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It may not. All right, well, any further discussion?
Let me ask a dumb question. Could she withdraw, if she wanted to, could she withdraw her application right now and then come back a month later and make a new application? Therefore, it hadn't officially been voted on. I know we have a motion on the table, but I don't know the...
We have a motion on the floor. I would withdraw the motion if she would withdraw her request.
But do we know, I mean, there's two issues here. One is if you come back and you change your plan, but you want the same zoning, how long does that take versus reapplying with different zoning? I mean, we can get the answer to that. But
we can get the answer.
Yeah.
I think she's going to have the same issues, though, with the swimming pool, whether it's limited professional with a swimming pool or whether it's commercial with a swimming pool.
I agree.
And as Kent said, that would be an issue that I would certainly be bringing back up again and a possible condition that I would want.
To fill that in.
Well, they could come back again and say, we're going to fill in the swimming pool.
Then I think that...
I mean, you see, I mean, they could resolve the swimming pool issue.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. They could.
And that would be probably qualify as a change. At least in my mind, it would. Mm-hmm. So, unless Ryan finds something...
And limited professional would certainly help these folks from the neighborhood, knowing that it just wouldn't be some general business that can come in there.
Right. It would be a limited professional. Would be a law office or a doctor's office or a dentist's office or something like that. Lot less.
And while it might not be as marketable for resale, it certainly would give these fine folks from that neighborhood some kind of protection from having some kind of deep joint or whatever coming in there.
I agree with that.
But at what point do you stop the commercial? I mean, you're talking about going further down E, where it's still commercial.
Well, that's a legitimate question. I mean, where do you draw the line?
You stop.
Where do you draw the line?
Right. And so we're asking you to draw where he is.
And that is the motion being discussed.
And I understand the predicament of rural health, that you have this building and you would like to use this building and let it be functional for you, but it also has to take into consideration the needs of the neighbors. And
we completely understand that. We are a community agency, and I do put on offices here afterwards.
I think as Jack said, you're a wonderful community neighbor. We really like you in the Aiken area. It's just we're just trying to be fair to everyone. So.
There's nothing that can't. Yeah, there's nothing that can't we can't overcome. I don't think with the reapplication. Y'all, I mean, does anybody concur with that?
Let me ask you this: even if we do not recommend this to City Council, doesn't this still go before?
They have a right to. Yeah, they have a right to go to council.
Yeah. So even though we don't recommend this, this can still go before City Council.
And everybody understands that, right? We're a recommending body. If we do not recommend that the rezoning be approved, the Rural Health Center can still go to City Council, and everybody who is opposed to it would have to go to City Council meeting too, just like you did tonight, and speak your piece in front of City Council. Everybody would have to do that again.
And bring more neighbors.
Okay, well, let's bring more neighbors, whatever you want to do. All right. All in favor of the basically the motion is to deny the rezoning request. Is anybody in favor? Everybody in favor of the motion? Raise your right hand.
Is she still second?
Yes, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, she's unanimous. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
We still have one more thing.
We have one more item.
Liz, did you tell her? Yeah, well, Liz would leave when we have some esoteric narrow.
Of course.
Really.
You too, Liz. Good to see you, Ms. Proto.
Give me a second. All right. Right. So I was hoping.
Right. No, it's hard.
Okay. Our final item of business is approval of the city's capital improvement program for fiscal year 18-22.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
Before I make a motion, I just would like to recognize the fact that we have been requested this year to not put out specific items and to make a total recommendation make a total recommendation to council whether we like it or not like it or we want to go forward with it or not. So with that said, if it's the appropriate time, I'd like to make a motion at this time.
Yes.
That the Planning Commission would recommend to council that the presented capital improvement program for fiscal year 2018 through 22 as submitted by the staff to us would be accepted and recommended to council to be approved. With that said, I would like to add to that motion is that the Planning Commission would encourage City Council to carefully look at borrowing state funds if they're available at 1.8%, which has been explained to the Planning Commission as far as projects in the future and that kind of thing, because I think that we all had agreed at one point and certainly open to talk about tonight that that's an incredible financial rate over 30 years, and that would be very beneficial to the city.
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
Just very quickly. Also, just for the citizens, for the record, I think that the prioritization is spot on, and that there's a lot of things on here that the residents, including myself, have been clamoring for. So just for the record, I'd like the residents to know that the city is going to be tackling some of the major issues that the residents have been calling for action on, so I'm happy about that.
And also, I think we were presented tonight information on their gap analysis that they've done and identifying what projects are certainly a priority, and that's what influenced me making the recommendation in the, tonight.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
I'm sorry.
All right. Second.
All right. No further discussion. I'll call for the vote. All in favor? All right, it is unanimous. And there being no further business before us, I will adjourn this meeting.